ओम शांति सर, वेलकम ब्रदर डेविड, वेलकम टू ऑल ऑफ यू एज वेल. सो आज टुडे विद अस इज अ ब्रदर डेविड एंड इट इज माय फॉर्च्यून और इट्स अ टू इंट्रोड्यूस ब्रदर डेविड जोन्स. ही इज बेस्ड इन मेलबर्न ऑस्ट्रेलिया. सो एंड लिविंग हिज meditation lifestyle from 1984. So, and he is the one as known of the world master drummer in the world. Sorry, David, brother David is considered one of the master drummer in the world. He played and recorded many artists worldwide and leads his own project and recipient of Melbourne Prize for 2010. And his specialty, when I start to go to the center, when I saw Brother David first time at Fitzroy Center in Melbourne, and I first sight was like he's very royal, and the second one I noticed that he's very calm. When you approach him, doesn't matter how many questions you ask him, he reply and answer all of your questions with the respect. And very loving. Over to you. Thank you.
Welcome to this session. This session is about solutions. Does anyone need translation, or should I be leaving spaces for translation? Okay. Often we think of the problems about the mind, and we need to address that. All the different things that come up in the mind. But firstly, if we look from the positive point of view, the solutions for a wandering mind. Now, there are many different types of state of mind. And when I was really doing my own research, and the research is through experience, it's churning, observing one's own mind, and that's the greatest research, because there's a lot of scientific research about the mind and how the brain works, and that the mind uses the brain and the chemistry between all the aspects of I, the being. But from a scientific point of view, as we know, it's mainly taken from a physical standpoint. So all of the things I would love to share in this session are from an experience. And so I've got a disclaimer here. I'm not a scientist, but I think we all could say we are a silentist. So we go into silence and discover with the knowledge we are being given by the greatest teacher. We go deeply into the reality, the lived reality of the knowledge that we are receiving every day. And so, in the past, knowledge was through scriptures, through theory, through gurus, and some very good things came out of that. But often, say with scriptures, we would read the scriptures, and there would be some sort of feeling there, but not necessarily deep experiences. And so for us now, every point of knowledge, even though simple, let me say it this way, I don't feel we can assume that I actually know myself, the being, the inner being, yet. So it doesn't matter if we've been meditating and on a spiritual path for 4 months, could be 4 years, 40 years, but still, my experience and my observation is that I'll personalize this, I'll say, I can gloss over things and really coming back to the simple point that I'm the inner being and that I have a mind. I'm using the intellect and everything is stored in the subconscious. It's so deep. And the further I go into it, it's like it keeps opening up like codes. It's so simple and yet so profound. So, solutions for the wandering mind, for overthinking, too much thinking, fast thinking, thinking that is a bit anxious, even though we are yogis, we're meditators, we can still get a little anxious, a little bit fearful, a little bit confused. And it really is coming back to the very basic solution of being still. I'm sure you'd agree with that, that when you're really still, become the observer and watch where the thoughts are coming and going. Some thoughts and feelings stay. Some pass by like clouds in front of the light of your consciousness. At times there can be storm clouds. They can stay for a little while. With every thought, every feeling, there's a beginning, middle and end. They may come back, but at that present moment, just observe what comes up. And it's very interesting, this will be a whole meditation, the whole experience. That's what I'm hoping, that we're not just talking theory, that we experience. So it seems that the speed of breath, according to the health of the body, but if we can slow the breathing down, naturally the thoughts will slow down and become a bit clearer. Have you noticed that? And sometimes we're not aware that the breathing is a bit shallow and not so deep. So even on the physiological level, on the physical level, we may not be giving our body enough oxygen to be bright and concentrated in our meditation, but in life in general. So let's do that now. We know that in our Raja Yoga study, we don't necessarily go deep into breathing exercises. And yet, I think what's happened over the years, over many decades, we've noticed this, that now all of us are taking the best of lots of different paths to make our path even stronger. So with breathing, it's a very, very beautiful, simple thing that if I breathe in through my nose, even if I'm a little bit tense or rushed, that actually gives a signal to the subconscious that I am relaxed, even if it's not 100%. So breathing in through the nose, if you're able to, really helps to relax the system. Then gently holding the breath. And why holding? It's allowing a space. And we become very aware of the space. And then breathing out through the mouth. And that cycle of breathing is amazing how it actually can slow down the thinking process and make everything more significant. So, let's do just three breaths together. And I'm sure you can share this with others too. It's not my technique. It's just a technique that's out there. It doesn't need a particular numbering, you know, because you could say six counts in, holding for 10, out for 10, whatever you like, whatever the body can handle. Because sometimes the condition of the body is not good. So we work with that, work with our body. Okay. So if you just sit up nice and straight, without it being strict, but just relaxed, but strong, clear. And here we go. So breathe in through the nose deeply into the abdomen. Hold the breath gently. And breathe out through the mouth. Let go. Breathe deeply in through the nose into the abdomen. Hold the breath gently. Allow a space. And breathe out through the mouth. Focus. Breathe deeply in through the nose. Hold the breath a little bit longer this time, very gently. And breathe out. Into the present moment. Just being here. Just be in the now. Just in this moment. And continue to breathe naturally. With awareness. So when we breathe with awareness, not only everything slows down, it slows down, but also it's like we're stepping back a little in our consciousness. Did you feel it? And very practically, it can keep us awake too. Because in our meditation, when we sit in meditation, anyone in the world sits in meditation, there's a similar process that happens, which is settling the body, that we're comfortable as possible, because sometimes there's pain, discomfort, sometimes there's tiredness, sometimes different states of body and different states of mind that we're sitting with. And we accept it all. There's a beautiful phrase, it is as it is. Okay, so if there's pain, breathe through the pain. If there's pain in the mind, you know, some sort of suffering, some sort of karma settlement, discomfort in the mind too, okay, let me just observe. So everything we do, not just in sitting meditation, but everything becomes awareness, doesn't it? What am I feeling? What are these thoughts? Where is the direction of my thoughts going? Breathing through it all. Become very still. And if we really examine it, what is the mind? If we ask ourselves, what is the mind? Can you see the mind? Does the mind have a colour? Is it a screen? Is it a mirror? So let's now, if we can, I know it's tricky because we don't have the chairs set up for this, but if we can have two or three just coming together, talking about what is the mind? How do we describe the mind? What is it? How is the mind working? But keep it simple, because we know I, the soul, am using the mind. Mind is an instrument for me. And in the past, it's become the enemy. But in fact, it's my friend. The mind is so innocent. Whatever I feed the mind, it'll just run with it. The mind needs a destination. If I don't give a destination to my mind, it will find one. So often it'll just be where it's attracted or repulsed. So attracted or repulsed by it. So the mind is very fickle, and yet it can become my best friend. So let's just get into twos or threes, and please don't leave anyone out. See if you can sit together and just for, let's say, 3 minutes, talk about the mind, but also, of course, ask each other too, what are thoughts? Can you see thoughts? Are thoughts energy? Is it electricity? Is it some sort of charge in the thoughts? Does it contain energy? So thoughts in the mind, if we just for 3 minutes. So two or three people getting together. Could be four if you want. Entirely up to you, but don't leave anyone alone. Include everyone. And brothers and sisters, it's okay. We're all friends. We're all spiritual friends. Okay. Please. Do you both know English? Okay. Please. Come, brother. What is the mind? How do the thoughts work? Where do they come from? Do they just appear? What are thoughts? What am I dealing with here? And as you're speaking to each other, realize that everything you're saying is coming from a thought first. And isn't it amazing? We're actually thinking and speaking about thoughts, thinking about thoughts. Ask each other, what are thoughts? How are they created? Where do they go when they disappear? Brothers, have you run out of things to say? You could speak for maybe 3 years on this topic. Actually, for the rest of our life. Okay, when you're ready, come back to the awareness of the whole room. Thanks for that. So wonderful, the vibration. When we're speaking about very significant things, you can feel the vibration. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we're sharing on such a deep level, and yet it's very simple. Spiritual, positive, deep conversation is really what we all need. It's very nourishing. So sometimes just to ask another person, BK or not BK, how do you feel your mind works? You know, it could be any question like that. And the conversations that can come from those questions are just quite incredible. And not only we can pass on our inspirations and communications and experiences, but also we keep learning too, because every time we have a conversation with another soul, with another person, we can pick up a lot of good inspirations, virtues, and observe how this person, this soul works. Really, really interesting. So anything to share from the room? And I'll say it so that we can all hear it, and for the camera as well. Anything really special came out of the conversation? And speak up, be courageous, please. Yeah. Okay, until the microphone comes. So the mind, as we know, is a function. It's an instrument. When we do the first lesson of the meditation course, Raja Yoga course, we understand that there are three aspects of the soul. Just as the body has organs that function, aspects of the body, and they go automatically, don't they? If we just, again, just have a stillness, and I'll thank you for taking the microphone, or just for one moment, if we become still again, and be aware of your breathing without doing anything consciously, and be aware of your heart. You won't hear your heart, but you'll become aware of your heart. and stomach, so digestion's going on automatically. Just become aware of those three things. Good. So they're three things, but there's blood flow, there's brain activity, so many things going on automatically. So the body has its own language, its own life. I, the soul, I, the living being, the essence of self, give this body life. And yet even the body itself has functions that are automatic. So the same with mind, intellect, which we'll talk about now, and subconscious mind, they are going on automatically. But like with the body, when we pay attention, say, to the breathing, or we pay attention to the mind, especially the intellect, we start to give tremendous divine strength to the intellect. And then we go into the subconscious, not the recent memories, but the deepest sanskaras, as we are taught very beautifully a lot. The deepest sanskaras, the original, are so beautiful, so pure, so radiant, so harmonized. So those things are going on all the time, but mainly through habit, mind, intellect, subconscious. Okay, before we go into that, please share something special that came out of the conversations.
Om Shanti, what we were discussing is that the mind, as you said, it's very fickle. And though we know we studied the Raj Yoga, whenever we get some time, the me time, our mind wants the relaxation. So it's by knowing everything, we sometimes just watch some reels or whatever gives us the relaxation. So we were just thinking that the mind is overpowering the brain. That the brain knows everything, but still it's not that powerful. The mind becomes more powerful. Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Someone else?
No, we discussed about the mind and we agreed that it's not physical. But Sister Ingrid gives more insight that it's like a screen.
Like a screen.
Yes, yeah. All the thoughts get visualized like in a television. You have to switch on and get to
switch
the right channel to get the right screen.
And how do we do the switch? It's the intellect, isn't it? We actually decide, which we'll talk about. Thank you, that's great. They're all great. Someone else? One more?
Well, while she was sharing, I felt like it's not always the same. It's not always clear. It can be cloudy. It can be hazy. It can then, like, things can be, that you can't quite catch it.
It's true, yeah.
And if that's depending on the mind, on the memories, or the feelings, or the body, or whatever it is, I'm not too sure.
And we find out, don't we, over time, thank you. One more, and we'll move on into the intellect now.
Om Shanti.
Om Shanti.
We discussed about how the thoughts arises in terms of, like, one thing was about our past karma, the impressions we hold
past
on to, so within us, and also the awareness we hold on. For example, if we are aware about where we are and what we are, and with that awareness we can have the right kind of thoughts. And sometimes it's like, as you very very well said, the instrument. If I'm not using the instrument in a way that is in the right way, the instrument will take it on its own way. So then it's become difficult to go behind and try to control it. Instead, to guide the mind to think, what to think, what kind of exercise or drills can helpful, but still sometimes not using the instrument properly, so that it takes its own way, then we get stuck in that process as well.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, all very good things, yeah. So we'll move on now, and I'll ask some more experiences in a moment. Thank you. So there are two things. There's the physical, and there is the spiritual, or mental, and emotional. So there are all these aspects that we're dealing with every day, from our waking moment until we sleep, but even in the sleep state too. And that's where the processing of the day's events, but also of past, is happening, that can't usually happen in our waking state. So when we sit in meditation, let's do that now. I mean, we are meditating already, of course. When we sit in meditation, it's settling the body first, as best we can, and then accept whatever state of body is there, and just do what you need to do. And then we very consciously detach, become soul aware, that I am the one who is thinking. I'm the one who is breathing through the body. I, the living being, am a point, a star, I'm a spark, a jewel of the forehead, a diamond like God. There are so many beautiful descriptions of the inner self. Every one of those descriptions starts to focus the intellect. And at the same time, we need to accept, firstly, the ground, the foundation is soul awareness. So, suggestion, we want to be in connection with the divine, with God, with supreme soul. But leave that aside just for a moment. Why? Because we are not going to connect as David, 67-year-old, Australian white guy from Melbourne. Impossible. Impossible to connect with someone so subtle, so divine, ever pure, ever wise, infinitely wise. I need to come back to my original form and accept whatever comes up. Okay, so we sit in meditation and we have the thought, I am the peaceful soul. And then what happens? Past thoughts interrupting. Could be too hot, could be too cold. Something happens with the body. Oh, pain. So the thoughts go immediately to body, to sounds. Could be tooting of the horn. Could be anything. Could be someone. There it is. There's exactly. So thoughts are created. Accept it. It's okay. The thoughts move to that and come back. I am the peaceful soul. Now, not as a chant. Not chanting, I am a peaceful soul, I am a peaceful soul. But we go into each word deeply. And each word becomes, you know, the word portal. It's like a channel that opens up of experiences. And so we don't just keep it as a word or a concept or a theory. I exist. So we know all the answers if we ask the question, who am I? I am the living being, a point deep inside the center of the forehead, the base of the brain. Oh, I'm using the brain. The brain is physical. It's a computer, incredible computer. So already just the word I, there's a train of thought, there's a direction for the thoughts. So past thoughts come in. Oh, images, memories, impressions, so many things. Even things in meditation, things can come up from the past that we don't even know what it is. A feeling, like a wave of things. Accept it.
it's okay. We're human beings. And you go back, okay, past is past. You say to yourself, I am a peaceful soul, eternal being. So we start to get this flow. Even though the past thoughts are still coming up, if there's something important, file it away for later. Once you get into a deeply soul-aware state, soul-conscious, then bring it forward and have a look at it. But acknowledge things that are important, okay? But now, in the start of the meditation, it's just settling into stillness. And all these other thoughts come from past. Also, observe, detach and observe lovingly, kindly, that thoughts are going into the future as well. Past thoughts, future thoughts, static, just mundane thoughts, planning the future, projecting imagination. You think, don't need that. I'll plan later. Okay? So you can see how active this is. This is a very different type of commentary, but we need this commentary in here. In here. We can't just sit still. Let's try this. This is a really good experiment. Ready? For 1 minute, see if you can have no thoughts whatsoever. Good. That's not even a minute. But thank you for the door. That was perfect. I'm sure we all thought, oh, door closed. A little bit strong. Descriptions in the mind. It's natural. Every human being has that. Even if we're very advanced yogis, we'll still be thinking about the room. If we're leading drishti and being with God and with Bapdada in such a beautiful state, and then something happens, you know, someone leaves the room, or a few people leave the room, there are thoughts about that. Or, too hot, too cold. Or, is this 5 minutes or is this 10 minutes now? Oh, is it the end of meditation? We have thoughts. We're all human beings. If we're really honest, we want yoga. We want really deep, bodiless, and then flying to the soul world and experiencing also subtle regions. There's so many things we can experience. But if we're honest, you know, sometimes we're soul conscious and we're feeling really lovingly detached. And we even fly to the subtle realm with beautiful white light and having a costume of white light and beautiful point of light of self sparkling in the forehead. And then the thought comes, oh, I forgot to ring that person yesterday. Down. Straight down. But the thing is, if I can offer something here, it's very important. When we drop out of a state, it's okay. It's okay. Because sometimes we have a past guilt, shame, embarrassment, disappointment, disheartened. You know, many different things come up. Oh, I was in this beautiful state and just that one thought took me away. Or, you know, my body, oh, I'm hungry. So thoughts are natural. It's then what we do with them. So, okay, we're in this beautiful state, whatever the state is. One thought or two thoughts or a stream of thoughts and bang, down into more physical awareness. It's okay because you've already done the pilgrimage. Everyone knows the word pilgrimage. We've gone into this beautiful state. All we need to do is resume. Resume. Just go back to where you were. Just let that thought or those stream of thoughts go and return. It takes very great strength to be able to do that. And that's what we're practicing, you know, every day, every moment that we remember. So I forget, and then I remember. I forget, then I remember. And I remember, remember more, forget less. Okay, so the intellect. It feels like we need a longer session. This is going to finish in half an hour. I'm just getting to the intellect. It would be really beautiful to go through the stages of yoga, wouldn't it? Soul consciousness, bodiless, subtle state, the flight, how to achieve the flight away from the physical. It's always our consciousness, because of course we don't leave our body. It's called death, physically. We don't leave, but our whole awareness, whole attention can be totally beyond this limited world. And we've experienced sometimes a glimpse, like a moment. Who's had an incredible moment of being completely beyond? Oh, that's very honest. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe a few. If you haven't experienced it yet, please don't worry. Be patient. Keep consistent practice. It will happen. Because it's not one way. Supreme Soul, Shiv Baba, wants to give you that experience through the subtle angel Brahma and direct right to the seed. Seed stage is what we all need. Soul, essence of self, no physical identification whatsoever, not even name, personality, anything. Point of life, point of light, I, with the Supreme Soul, directly. Even if we have, and you've heard this too, even if we have a second of that experience, not in theory, not in just visualizing, but actual, deep yoga, Raja Yoga, even a moment, can clear so much in the soul, can fill the soul with so much divine energy. We all want that, don't we? We can't assume that we're having that. It's deep, deep, consistent, loving effort. But if I can give another name to effort, because effort sounds sometimes really a bit tight and tough, focus. Where is my mind going? Now, the intellect is the gatekeeper. The mind needs a gatekeeper, a filter. It needs a director. The intellect, that's what we're filling with knowledge, realizations, understanding, experience. The intellect also is not physical. You can't see the intellect, can you? What is it? It's willpower. It's the inner willpower. It's an old word, conscience. It's not used so much now. Conscience. It means the exercising the power of choice. This thought or that thought, this feeling or that. And there is a stream of consciousness, always a stream. But we now direct the stream to the experiences that we want to have. Not feeling a victim, you know, or feeling subject to that stream of consciousness. When I was putting this sharing, I won't call it class, but the sharing together, I did some sessions in Australia, and I was thinking for about 2 weeks, you know, making notes and things that I've experienced, and I was experiencing new things when I was thinking deeply about it, about mind, intellect, subconscious, and how the mind works. And I set down 10 different states of mind, but there are many, many more. Should I go through some of them very quickly? First one, we sit in meditation. Bored mind. Bored. Bored. So sitting. Oh, really? Do I have to meditate again? Can everyone relate to it? Yes. We all have this. So if we just sit still, whatever takes our attention, the mind will fly there very quickly and easily. So we need to give the mind something, a destination. And the mind loves content. It loves to think about things. It loves a destination. And it needs a master. The mind doesn't know yet that it loves being still, because we have the habit, the soul has the habit of the mind being so busy, so fast. And in the world, that's seen as a good thing, you know, quick thinking. And it is good at the right time, but in between, we won't have no thoughts. Who had no thoughts in that meditation? Thank you. Oh, no thoughts. Maybe pure experience. So still thoughts there, because every human being is continuously thinking. Even in what we call silence, it's pure experience born of powerful thought. We can't just sit there and hope it happens. You know, it's not by chance. Each thought, or like the stepping stones into the experience. Once we get into the experience, with practice, we can stay there longer. And then it doesn't seem like we have thoughts. But the thoughts are portals. Yeah. So each thought, each aspect of knowledge we need to experience, come back to simple things. I am a point. How much do I really experience that when I'm walking, when I'm speaking, sitting in this body? Now, let's just look, see, you're looking through those eyes, you're not the eyes. You can smell, scent through the nose, you're not the nose. If you look at the right side of your nose, you see it's all exterior, see it's all outside. Hearing through the ears, I'm not the ears. These are all my instruments, the senses. And eventually we start to be able to gently but powerfully detach from all the senses, even the inner senses. So the intellect needs to be powerful. In the past, and we've heard this, the intellect wasn't working. There was a thought, it just immediately gets recorded. The subconscious is where everything is recorded. Every second, through all of the aspects of body and mind, every second. Amazing, isn't it? And we, in the past, also in psychology, it's seen sometimes that the subconscious is the enemy. It's a really dark place, unknown, you know. But as we know, it actually holds the golden sanskaras, the golden impressions, as well as recent. You know, it's not just all negative. So subconscious is a very, very powerful aspect of I, the soul, that I need to access and understand too. Okay, so let's have another short little 3-minute chat, maybe choose some other people to chat with, and ask each other, how does the cycle of thought work, creating thought? What does the intellect do? Decides, it's the power of choice. And then whatever we choose, whatever we think, we decide to keep thinking. And if we're having a negative thought about someone, oh, catch it, good wishes, replace the negative with something very, very positive, uplifting. So what is the function of the intellect, and how is it all recorded in the soul? Isn't that a wonder? Incredible. Okay, 3 minutes, please. So 2 or 3 people, and maybe choose some other people. You can move around a little bit. Moving helps us be really alert too. I'll be back in 2 minutes. Okay, 1 more minute, and then we'll feed back some special points that came out that we can think about. Good, thank you. Of course, we can discuss these things for a long time and have so many realizations, so many inspirations from each other. And I would say this is really an important thing in our conversations to, of course, greet each other and have a very wonderful, enjoyable time, but also go deep. You know, sometimes over a meal, or if we're walking somewhere, to just ask each other, what are you thinking about in terms of intellect? How does that work? I remember years ago, Daddy Janki said something in a class, and it just got everyone talking for days about, does God have an intellect? And we all thought, oh, okay, in mind, intellect, subconscious. How does that work in the Supreme Soul? So it got us all churning, you know, really thinking deeply on the whole aspect of who are we connecting with and how does that work and how does the Supreme Soul think? It's deep, isn't it? I remember that really. It was this incredible energy that was all generated just by one question or one aspect. And so often, every day, we get so much knowledge, so much fuel, so much food for the soul. It even can feel like too much, you know? For me too, like this morning I was writing notes, and I don't usually write notes. I have the online speaker to me or a class, of course, with someone reading it, or read it myself. But when I was writing, I'm thinking, oh, there's so many good points here. I could just stay with one point and have such an experience, but I want to get it all down so I can have the experience later, you know? So experience a certain amount when it's going through, but the point I'm wanting to make is we have so much rich food, but sometimes just to stay with one point, even for a few days, and I know you've probably heard this before, say if it's patience that I really need. I have a friend who came for Peace of Mind retreat. He took that for not 1 week, months. It really worked.
Shiv Pita ko ab yaad karo, mukti dham tumhe jana hai. Apne sukarmo ke bal par.
Let's practice this now, not just listening to the music, not just using that as a signal. It is a signal, but to go deep inside, beyond the sound, beyond everything here, into deep soul consciousness and make a direct connection with Bhagavan. Om Shanti. For the remaining maybe 13, 12 minutes or so we have, finishing a quarter past, yeah. I'd love to take us into a meditation. The pilgrimage, all the different stages of meditation, but not as an intellectual exercise, but as an experience. And we know we can experience the Supreme Soul, Shiva, in our body. You know, if we just now, very, very easily, lightly, which you probably already did, thinking I'm the soul, I'm the being, living light, self-luminous, so many different descriptions can give so many experiences. I'm the inner being sitting behind the thoughts, behind the feelings, in between the thoughts, radiant. And just even while sitting in the body, feel as like not just visualizing, but experiencing a thread, a golden thread, straight to Shiv Baba, to God, and visualizing at first, but then feeling and experiencing supreme point of light like me. Self-luminous, but never coming into the cycle of birth and death. Never even having a subtle image. And even whilst here, we can connect and there's incoming divine energy to I, the soul, to my brain, to every cell of the body and radiating into the atmosphere. So many things we can experience. That's being in the body, but now if we really want to go into the deep experience of being completely with Baba, the one we call Baba, Shiv Baba, Shiva, the seed. So let all the sounds, all the distractions, even of my own body go, and we'll go in little stages in this 10 minutes. I'll start with a beautiful sound of the singing bowl, which, as you can see, it's a bowl. It's empty. And yet the vibration of that emptiness is so beautiful and spreads into the atmosphere. Same with the silence or the emptiness of our mind when we get to that state. And it can take a little while, be patient, go simple, go easy, take your time. So even if you had a half an hour, most of that time could be just being so conscious and just withdrawing from everything quite consciously. Then when you want to make the connection and fly to Baba, it's not like you're going to drop out very quickly. Understand? And we're not trying to connect as a physical being, as a, or even a subtle being. Excuse me. So, okay. Once again, let's just stand up, shake the limbs a little bit, maybe do some little movements. Oh, what about the deity movement? Taking energy through this hand and giving energy. Yes. And then moving the energy anywhere you like. Beautiful. Wonderful. So we do need gentle movement of the body, the soul through the body to keep the flow of energy physically as well. So we're not getting tired. Because the number one thing we don't really want to develop is a sleepiness. You know, we sit in meditation automatically. Even very experienced meditators, it can happen. So I remember, thank you, can please sit. I remember one of the seniors, I forget, early days it might have been Didi Nirmala, saying if you're a little bit tired in meditation, go for a walk. Come back. But walk in meditation, you know. So sometimes we battle too much, battle force, straining, even a little bit headachy, but light, easy. Okay, here we go. So sitting straight, take a deep breath in. Hold and breathe, breathe out. Breathe in. Hold. Breathe out. Place in the center of your awareness the one thought, foundation thought of every meditation, foundation of life. I am a peaceful soul. I am a peaceful being, eternal, immortal, continuous consciousness. Living light. Take all the energy right through the body, right up to the center of the forehead. Second stage, bodilessness. Feel that you are weightless. Light, a point. No size. Infinitesimal. Ageless, even though the body continues to age and everything around me, the five elements, are subject to the law of entropy. I, the soul, am imperishable. I am the peaceful soul. Peace is the natural state. The original state. I am purely being. Whatever thoughts come, it's okay. Let them go. Something important, file it away for later. Feel so light. Withdraw, detach. Lovingly detach from the body. Even from the mind, observe, listen, watch, understand that I can determine where my thoughts go. and now I want to go beyond. Third stage, rise above, fly, body is settled, soul is free. In a second, appear, disappear from here and appear in the subtle realm, pure, soft, white light everywhere, no shadows, nothing negative in the mind, and enter your final angelic form, same form that you left on the earth, radiating with pure white light. You are before Bap-Dada, both souls, Shiv Baba, Brahma Baba, looking through those most beautiful, subtle eyes and face. Drishti of love and power, kindness, deep understanding. Bap, Dada, knows you and loves you so much. Seated on a very subtle, small throne in front of Baba, white light form, sparkling point, you in the forehead of that image, pure white aura. Baba puts a garland of blessings around you, around your neck, sparkling diamond tilak on the forehead, and now gives you a very subtle golden white light crown. Taking drishti from Baba. Such deep gratitude for all the treasures, all the experiences, divine company, all the gifts that God is giving in the subtle. And there's subtle communication without words. Shiv Baba saying, child, follow me home, come upwards with me to the soul world. And so you fly, following Baba, into the golden reddish light, the eternal sweet silence home of light. There's nothing physical here. You've brought nothing with you. Pure point of light, with supreme, pure, ever pure point of light. In the aura of God. Soul is merged, absorbed, filling up with power, divine golden energy from the source, the benefactor, supreme point, the one you can have all relationships with, in the stillness, in the light. A golden thread connects you directly, current of energy running directly to you, the link of love, the link of life, bringing energy with you, floating down through layers of light, through the subtle realm, tiny star, spark of consciousness you are, returning to this body, seated again in the center of the forehead, deep inside, with care and respect, looking after the body, I, the soul, the actor, in the costume. I am the peaceful, radiant, powerful child of the Supreme. I'm the soul. I'm the soul. I'm the soul. Om Shanti. Thank you for this beautiful opportunity. It feels like we could have many days of this type of workshop, going deep into all the different aspects. Thank you.